Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour on KDVS 90.3 FM in Davis. Boy, I've got an action-packed show for you this afternoon. You tuned in on exactly the right day at the right time. We're going to be talking theater today with members of Studio 301's production of Julius Caesar. Starts tonight, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. It's our preview performance.
The preview performance starts tonight. It's one of the best bargains for excellent cultural entertainment that you're going to find in the city of Davis this evening. And it happens all through the weekend. We've got a bunch of the representatives of that particular show here in the studio who we will hear from. Last week, Kenya was here. Hi, Kenya. She was due to join us as our featured poet, but she was preempted, tragically, by baseball. Luckily, there's no baseball game getting in the way this time, and so Kenya is here to share with us some of her poetry. That's Kenya Mitchell. And then, in the final third of the hour, we'll hear from the Davis Shakespeare Ensemble. They're putting on a production of the complete works of William Shakespeare. We have Shakespeare coming out of our ears, and you'll want it to come out of yours as well when you see all the great opportunities, entertainment, cultural, spiritual even, that are available for you starting this weekend. Poetry, drama, and as you can tell in the background, really strange jazz. All of it here on Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. Welcome back, everyone, to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. The show is sponsored by the Sacramento Doctors Clinic for Men. We'll hear from them later on in the show. But first, I'd like to tell you about a show that's opening tonight. Julius Caesar, my daughter Geneva's favorite Shakespeare play, will start tonight in previews at 8 p.m. and then run all the way through the weekend. There will be Sunday shows at 7, but the rest are at 8 p.m. And it's at the School of Education Courtyard, right in front of Sproul Hall, which is the largest, the tallest building in all of Davis, right over by 1st and A Streets. And there's a wonderful courtyard there where I've taught many a class when my students have convinced me to hold class outside. Well, tonight, all sorts of crimes and repercussions will be on hand. Julius Caesar by William Shakespeare. We have here the director of William Shakespeare, Michael Lutheran. He is a dramatic arts major. He's graduating this June. He's been on the show before, and he's also been in Spring Awakening, and he was part of the UC Davis Department of Theater and Dance's Edge Festival. Julius Caesar is his first experience as a director of a full-length play. Michael Lutheran, welcome back to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour.
Thank you very much, Dr. Andy. It's great to be back.
All right. So, Julius Caesar, did you choose the play? Or were you assigned it?
I was assigned to read it years back when I was a sophomore in high school, over at Vanden High School in Fairfield. And the assignment was, you know, we had to read the play and, you know, team up with someone in class and perform a scene from it, and my friend and I, we decided to do Brutus and Cassius, Act 4, Scene 3, mm-hmm. when they're in the tent. And my friend Casey, she's a girl, she played Cassius, And it was just within the collection of those few days that I realized that I wanted to direct this play.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Now, I noticed that you're surrounded by women, but there are not a great number of female characters written into the play.
Right.
So say something about that.
Yeah, it's something that, you know, immediately with having, you know, woman playing Cassius, it's saying a lot. And you're absolutely correct in that the only two women written into the text are Portia and Calpurnia, respectively Brutus and Caesar's wife.
Right.
So what I wanted to do was somewhat modernize this play, because especially with the role of Cassius, it's adding an entire new level of drama to this story. It's inserting a love story for the most part. And so I was very much interested in that dynamic and changing the relationship between Brutus and Cassius, because it also raises the stakes for Brutus and Portia and their marriage together, which results in a very traumatic end with them. But and also just the amount of talent that showed up, we found that most of our roles could be played by women. One of our actresses, Sarah Cohen, is playing Casca, normally played by a man, but Sarah does it with elegance and grace and is absolutely fabulous.
That's great. You talked about the sad ending of some of the characters, mm-hmm. and as you've created it, some of the romances as well. Do we consider Julius Caesar to be a tragedy or a history?
I would definitely say it's more of a tragedy because it focuses on the character of Marcus Brutus,
mm-hmm.
which is interesting because the play is entitled Julius Caesar, and you would think that you would follow Caesar, considering
right.
that, you know, in the Henry series, you focus on Henry and stuff, whereas in Julius Caesar, you focus on Brutus. So I think it's very much about the story of, you know, the climb and fall of this one man's, you know, dissension into conspiracy and murder and all the things that come after that.
Julius Caesar, I don't know if this is a spoiler for listeners, he doesn't survive the play.
No, he doesn't last long, in
yeah.
fact.
And I think he has fewer words than any title character in a Shakespeare play.
It's very true. He's actually only written in fact, in about 4 scenes. And he dies in the third scene, and he comes back briefly during the second half of the play. But you rarely see him in it. So, however, he is talked about a lot. You know, as most of Shakespeare's works go, is there's entire plays going on off stage. The story obviously revolves around this great Roman general.
Right. When you have armies pitched against one another, it's often cheaper to do that sort of thing off stage.
Of course, but that we decided that, you know, we're going to bring those battles on the stage.
Excellent.
We have a cast of 20 thespians, and our fight choreographer, Gabe Rosa, has done an excellent job at researching historical Roman military tactics, and he's also a black belt in Hapkido.
Cool.
So he's kind of combined a very modern yet historical adaptation of Roman-style fighting, and not a spoiler or anything, but we do have full-on battle sequences in which you have huge groups of people charging into each other with full body shields and swords.
That's great, yeah.
Yeah.
I saw with a rehearsal when I was walking by that it's not just swords, but swords and shields.
Swords and shields, yes. Gabe was very insistent, as I was as well, that, you know, we do want this to look like a Roman army.
Absolutely.
Because Romans are known for having those full body shields, not the circular shields as you sometimes see in more so medieval history.
Right.
And stuff. This Rome has a very specific culture, and everyone, it's kind of grown into a collective memory,
mm-hmm.
I feel. I mean, with also the introduction of movies and Rome and within the today's cinema, like 300 and stuff like that.
Right.
So it was a very distinct culture that we also wanted to kind of hit.
Excellent. Well, let's hit all of our responsibilities here today by introducing folks at home to some of the people that you brought with you.
Yeah.
Starting with Lily, you're a human development major from Oregon State. What part are you playing in Julius Caesar, Lily?
I am the assistant director and dramaturg for Julius Caesar.
Excellent. That's great. And dramaturg, tell people at home what that means.
As a dramaturg, I did all the edits on the script. I did a lot of research into the history of the show and the ancient history that we're representing on stage. I'm in charge of making sure that the verse sounds right.
Right. So you did some cutting.
I did so much cutting of the script.
Yeah.
I think I cut 20 pages out of it. I cut 15 speaking parts out of it to make it more condensed and for it to flow and to cut a lot of redundancies. The poetry is all there, but it goes a little bit faster now.
Excellent. And I wanted you to mention that because that's just the sort of thing that could bring people in. And just to remind folks, we're talking about Julius Caesar. It opens tonight in previews over at the School of Education Courtyard, which is over by 1st and A Streets in Davis. Preview starts tonight at 8 p.m. and then runs through this weekend and next, 8 p.m. shows, and then 7 p.m. on Sunday. If you want to find out more, you can send an email to studio301productions@gmail.com. All right, good. Thank you, Lily. We may come back to you, but now we're going to jump over to, is it Yana Shovinsky?
That's correct.
Hi, Yana. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. It's wonderful to be here.
And tell me what you do in this show.
In this show, I play one of the soothsayers, which originally is kind of this creepier, older man.
Right.
And in our show, they're actually, thanks to Lily and Michael's creativity, they are paralleled against the Roman mythological fates who control destiny, who control lifespans, what happens in people's lives. And so there's three of us, and I'm one of those wonderful characters. It has been an incredible experience to embody that, and we simultaneously play a few smaller parts along the way in order to infiltrate ourselves into the story.
As a sociology major, I suppose it makes sense that you would join a group rather than just being a sole soothsayer.
it has given me some perspective, I'm sure, into, you know, figuring out where I belong and what my role is in this particular group of people in this particular society and instance. But it's definitely the three of us have developed our own playing field, our own little world.
Okay, great. Well, let's hear next from Shayna Karp. She's an exercise biology major. And are you playing Cassius?
I am, yes.
And tell me about your preparation for that role.
Well, I had talked to Michael before the auditions about the role of Cassius and how he wanted that role to be played by a woman. And so I read through that and thought about ways in which that changes the story a little bit, because when I read through Julius Caesar before the auditions, I read through it seeing Cassius as a man and thinking about how that was. So finding out that Cassius was going to be not just played by a woman, but actually a female character in this
right.
show changed it.
Absolutely. Have you played anyone this villainous before?
I think this is actually the first time I've had a chance to play kind of a villain in production. So that's
Excellent.
Been a challenge, but very exciting.
And what have been some of the joys of taking on this particular character?
Oh, wow. Just the different layers. There are so many layers within Cassius, because Cassius is a soldier, she's a senator, but she's also a woman. And so finding those different elements throughout the script and finding how those different personalities all interplay to create this one character has been quite a journey.
Were there any female U.S. senators that you looked to for inspiration in putting together this character?
Mm, I had thought of that, actually.
Well, you still have 2 hours and
25 exactly.
minutes.
I better go research it.
Research it now from your director.
Excellent. Great. Well, thanks very much for coming on the program and
thanks
telling us
much.
About that. And then Matthew Canty is here. He's a fourth-year dramatic arts major, and he's been in a bunch of productions, including Much Ado About Nothing, 12th and 12th Night. Matthew, welcome. What is the part that you play in this production of Julius Caesar that starts tonight?
I will be playing Marcus Brutus.
Excellent. And so the play's really about the play's about you then. Imagine all the lines that are swimming around in your head right now.
You don't want to imagine. Mostly four-letter words.
Yeah. And Brutus has to be sympathetic at certain parts of this play. How do you present that?
Well, hopefully well. but no, just going into the text, researching, finding what it is exactly that Brutus wants when it comes to him coming to the decision to the point where he's actually willing to kill his best friend. And what it is, I mean, he really believes that this is for the good of the country, and just going with that, and that every choice I make is to make things better, to make things right. And tragically, that's not how it goes, but I mean, I just keep believing, you know, with each line, like, this is going to happen, this is going to happen, this is going to be make things better, and yeah.
Excellent. And that's interesting, isn't it, that you play the character who's most responsible for bringing about the death of the, or at least most famously bringing about the death of the title character, mm-hmm. and yet you're also one who's highly motivated by higher needs and higher ends, rather mm-hmm. than say greed or ambition or whatever the case may be.
Right. Well, yeah, it's things like greed and ambition, which Brutus thinks is happening with Caesar, and because Brutus believes himself to be honorable, and he's so wrapped in honor and being honorable and doing things that are honorable for his country, that, you know, he really believes that Caesar's being ambitious and Caesar's going too far with his power, and Brutus just makes those choices, you know, he really doesn't see any other way that he could have gone about the situation.
Yeah. That's good. That's almost like a translation in 21st century English of one of your big speeches, isn't it?
Yeah, that's the translation of like six of the speeches that he gives, actually.
Excellent. Yeah. Well, I'm really looking forward to seeing this production. And Michael, why don't you tell us the details once again? How do we find out about tickets? Where do we go, and when?
Yeah, sure. So the production we've been yapping about for the past however many minutes is the production of Julius Caesar. By William Shakespeare. We are previewing tonight at 8 o'clock, but we also have performances Thursday through Sunday, as well as next weekend as well, show starting at 8 p.m., with Sunday starting at 7 p.m., and the performances are held in the School of Education courtyard right next to Olson and Sproul, also for those of you who may not be familiar with the campus, on the corner of 1st and A Street. And you can certainly purchase tickets at the Freeborn UC Davis ticket office, which is just right next to the Memorial Union on the face of UC Davis campus. And you can also purchase tickets at the door. This is outdoor Shakespeare. We invite you to please bring blankets to lay upon, chairs if you would like. And also be ready to move around during this show. It's my vision that I don't want to have the audience sitting in one place for the duration of the performance. Between both acts, the audience will be moving around.
Excellent.
Yeah.
That's great. Well, I look forward to seeing it. And Studio 301, you're doing some really important work. Good luck with this production, Break a Leg. I hope you all have fun tonight with your preview performance.
Thank you very much, Dr. Andy.
Absolutely. Well, stick around, folks, because in just a moment we will be joined by Kenya Mitchell. She's a local poet who's got some events coming up this weekend that she also wants to plug. And I'll also ask her to share with you some of the poetry that has come out of her brand new book. My name is Dr. Andy, and ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. And now, a message from the Sacramento Doctors Clinic for Men.
This hour of KDVS programming is brought to you by Doctors Clinic for Men in Sacramento. Doctors Clinic for Men assists those unable to perform sexually to their own or partner's satisfaction. Treatments are offered which can resolve both premature ejaculation and erectile dysfunction. Doctors Clinic for Men's medication consists of only FDA-approved agents, and its staff has over 15 years' experience in this area of medicine. Confidential visits are conducted at the California Sutter Building, 28th and J Streets in Sacramento. The office can be reached at 916-551-1595 or toll-free at 877-493-8839. On the web at www.doctorsclinicformen.com.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome Willie Bobo!
Here's a comp... Is this on? Here's a composition by a very talented composer and arranger, Mr. Antonio Carlos Jobim. The tune is called Jing Jing.
There are many ways to measure success. For the Shriners, it's the nearly 700,000 children with orthopedic and burn problems that they've helped. This is Ricardo Montalban. For over 80 years, the Shriners have provided state-of-the-art medical care to kids all over North America, totally free of charge. There is a Shriners Hospital helping kids from this area. If you know a child that the Shriners might be able to help, call 1-800-237-5055. Shriners, giving help and hope to kids for over 80 years.
Telling a story that no one believes.
Welcome back, everyone, to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour on KDVS 90.3 FM in Davis. I'd like to remind you that this is one of 10 public affairs programs that you can hear Monday through Friday on this radio station. Shows such as This Week in Science, It's About You, and Radio Parallax are bound to intrigue you and challenge your presuppositions. If you want to find out more, you can visit the website of this radio station, kdvs.org. Kenya Mitchell is here in the studio. Born in New Orleans, Kenya Mitchell began writing at age 10, spurred by a love of words and an analytical mind. Since then, she's published poetry, essays, short stories, poetry reviews, and salacious tidbits for a number of journals you've heard of, including New York Magazine, Stanford University's Black Arts Quarterly, the Adirondack Review, and Tribes Magazine. She's given performances at CBGB's and other venues in the East Village, and is currently pursuing a master's in education at Harvard and a PhD in education here at the University of California at Davis. She's going to be the focal point of a book release party called The Book is Aftermath of a Sociopath, and that's at Delta of Venus this coming Friday night at 8 o'clock. There will be music, there will be dancers, there'll be fine food, and you're invited. And here is the star herself, Kenya Mitchell. Welcome to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour.
Thanks, Andy. I feel honored to be here.
Great.
Thanks for having me.
Good to have you here, and I apologize again that we were preempted for baseball last week. So, Aftermath of a Sociopath. What a great title that is.
Thank you.
It's almost like what happens, we were talking about Shakespearean tragedies before, mm-hmm. What happens after the tragedy
is
a good question, and one that some playwrights and novelists have taken on. Mm-hmm. But it's actually, it seems like it's a focus of at least the title of your new book of poetry. Do you want to say something about the title and the poems that we find therein?
Well, actually, Aftermath of a Sociopath isn't a book of poetry, even though I've given it a poetic title.
Right.
It's a collection of short fiction.
Well, that's right.
And they're, how do I describe it? Psychological suspense parables. So
excellent.
Each story follows a woman as she's going through some sort of traumatic event or experience. And in some cases, she may have precipitated those experiences and what happens in the aftermath of that. So each story follows that theme.
Excellent.
Mm-hmm.
In many of these stories, is the woman interacting with the sociopath, or is she ever the sociopath herself?
Both.
Excellent. Good. So we can find out more about that at Delta of Venus.
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking about poetry. You also have a book of poetry that came out recently.
Yes.
Can you remind us of that title?
Yes. Blue Line to Wonderland. I finished it in December.
Excellent. Good for you. Now, some graduate students listening to this may be quizzical or even a little bit resentful that you're earning these multiple degrees while turning out books of fiction and poetry. And I'm wondering if you can do anything to allay their concerns. How do you do all this?
I stop sleeping.
Yeah.
To my mom's worry, when I go to visit her, I have really tired eyes and I'm moving very slowly, and sometimes I call people by the wrong name, so they shouldn't be jealous.
People
at
like
all.
In your family, you mean?
People in my family, people I'm close to, just people in general. I get a little forgetful, and I'm not able to really synthesize a lot of things. So they have nothing to be jealous of. They're leading full lives.
Right. So another way of putting that is that sleep makes you smart, and you've been getting insufficient sleep, and so you're not feeling as sharp. But you do have two recent books under your arms.
Right.
And I'm sure you'll have a lot of fun on Friday at this party at Delta of Venus.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be party time in downtown Davis because it's the second Friday art about.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Oh, yeah. So there'll be hordes of art lovers. Mm-hmm. If art lovers ever travel in hordes, mm-hmm. walking up and down the streets of Davis, going to, I think, 36 different venues that are showing off art. So hopefully some of them will come by Delta of Venus.
Mm-hmm. Can I throw out another plug?
Please.
This Friday?
Plug something.
There's actually a Poetry Slam and Summit here on campus. Uh-huh. The Know Your Rights Poetry Slam and Summit. And so there will be tons of young poets from the Sacramento area here on campus showing off their stuff. So if there are any poetry lovers out there listening to your show, and of course there are,
right.
they should really catch the summit. It's going to be
Do you know where and when?
It'll be Freeborn Hall, and I believe it starts at 7 o'clock, but don't quote me on that one. You can double-check it. It should be on the School of Education's website.
So if one wanted to, one could go to Freeborn Hall and catch some of that show, mm-hmm. head over to Delta Venus later to catch some of your show, and then also the dancing and the music.
Yeah, fire dancing, music with Mr. Glass, everybody's favorite neighborhood DJ. So it's going to be a really good luck night in spite of it being Friday the 13th.
Absolutely. A good reason for you all who usually stay at home focused on your radio to actually step out. You can always catch these shows on KDVS.org. And interact with some other arts lovers, people of poetry, short stories. And tell me again how you describe these psychological suspense snippets.
Psychological suspense parables. Because the way I write is what I try to do is I mash up pulp fiction mm-hmm. with literary fiction, because I feel like people are able to ingest the universal themes in fiction if it has like a crazy story surrounding it.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a little bit like the applesauce that has the medicine hidden inside.
Right.
What sort of research into pulp fiction or genre fiction have you done in order to put together your most recent book, Aftermath of a Sociopath?
Well, to be honest, I grew up with my dad watching horror movies.
Cool.
My dad's a really big horror movie buff, and ever since I was about 3, I've been watching horror movies with him. And that got me started on reading a lot of genre fiction and horror. I mean, I feel like I've read almost every classic Stephen King novel. He's one of my favorite writers. So with that background in mind, it was really easy for me to write these stories. I mean, they're not so horrific, but they sort of play with a person's mind. It makes a person contemplate, because I feel like the most horrific things are not necessarily the gory ones, but the things that we have to think about and contemplate, like how did this transpire and how will this affect a person's life? That's
right.
More interesting than a slasher.
I think so. Well, wonderful. That sounds great. I also grew up watching horror films where I could.
Mm-hmm.
There was a show on Saturday night opposite Saturday Night Live called Creature Feature.
Yes, I remember that.
Yeah. And we would jump back and forth between the two shows.
Mm-hmm.
And then a lot of times you could see horror movies on network television in the afternoons.
Mm-hmm.
And we had books in the house on Peter Cushing and Boris Karloff and Bela Lugosi. And so I did a lot of reading of that stuff, too. Well, that's wonderful, and probably an unexpected nexus of all the smart literary books that you've read and then the impact of these great old black and white movies, as well as someone like the master of horror himself, Stephen
mm-hmm.
King.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful. Well, Do you have, we're going to take a quick break and hear a bit of jazz, but maybe when we come back you could read us a little bit of something?
Sure.
Excellent. Kenya Mitchell is my guest, and she is going to be throwing a party this coming Friday night at the Delta of Venus, which is on B Street between 1st and 2nd here in the city of Davis. It's to celebrate her brand new book, Aftermath of a Sociopath. As you can tell, it's a book of fiction, digestible fiction, that may set the hairs on your arms on end. This coming Friday night at Delta Venus at 8 o'clock. After a little bit of jazz, we're going to hear an excerpt. We'll be back in a moment with more of Kenya Mitchell here on Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour.
We like to do a tune for you now. And this was taught to me by my dad. Like, he played this for my mother in Puerto Rico and socked it to her. Open her nose right on. And scored 5 times. I'm one of the times, Randy. So he told me whenever I felt happy to play this, it's called Come On and Get a Peep. This is a composition by Mr. Larry Nash, but really, damn, my father really got all of it, too. Come on, boys.
This is Dr. Andy letting you know what you probably already know, and that is that cigarette smoke releases harmful gases like carbon monoxide and hydrogen cyanide. These gases can be particularly harmful to babies and children whose bodies are still developing. When around others, especially kids, make the effort not to smoke. But if you must smoke, smoking outside makes smoking your cigarette your choice and does not subject others to harmful side effects. Visit don'tpassgas.org for more information on the deadly effects of secondhand smoke. A message from the American Legacy Foundation and the Ad Council. This is Dr. Andy letting you know that Kenya Mitchell is here in the studio. She is a poet and essayist. She writes short stories. She also writes poetry reviews and has appeared in a great number of important journals. She's pursuing a master's in education at Harvard and a PhD in education right here at UC Davis. This coming Friday, her book, Aftermath of a Sociopath, will be celebrated at a release party at the Delta of Venus at 8 p.m. That's this coming Friday night. But Kenya, you've got some poems there. Why don't you share one of those with us? Remind us of the title of your book of poetry.
Well, this book of poetry is called Blue Line to Wonderland, and it's actually named after the subway line in Boston.
Excellent.
So
the Blue Line, I'm trying to remember. I lived on the Green Line.
Mm-hmm.
The Blue Line goes from where to where?
It goes from downtown Boston to Wonderland.
Aha.
And that's what tripped me out. I'm like, there's a place in Massachusetts called Wonderland, and I tried riding the subway all the way down, and it wasn't that wondrous, but I was captivated by the name of the...
And the idea.
The idea of riding a train to Wonderland.
That's great. Good. Well, let's hear one of your poems.
Great. Well, this one is called Cambridge Sundays. And when I refer to Cambridge, I'm thinking of Cambridge, England.
Okay.
Who knows how many feet have flowed over the stone stairwells of Gonville and Keys. Relentless as a current, they smooth bows in each step. Cambridge is two towns Sundays. Gilded chalices filled with liquid vice. Grapes pulverized straight from the vine. Over pursed lips, tongue gushes paradise. Ready punts under Cam's canopy. Molten English shire under willows. Poles stir mossy muck. Navigate circles. Tipsy on Guinness, drunk with heavenly, all traverse the arch of humility. Even Jesus drank with those bereft of belief in resurrection from death.
That was great.
Thank you.
So you've spent time in Cambridge, England, as well as Cambridge, Massachusetts.
Yes.
Good. And was that studying abroad or fun, or what brought you to England?
I was studying abroad for a summer, and while I was there, I studied Dickens and travel writing, which is interesting because I feel like I don't use any of the techniques that I learned for travel writing when I do travel writing.
Right. Well, you know, you've done a lot of writing, though, on travel. It's good to kind of distinguish yourself from the tradition as well as steal from it.
Right. It's true.
Good, good. All right. We have time for one more poem. What's this one titled?
It's called Katie's Irish Tambourine.
Great.
And it's about something that I almost stole, but I didn't. So, Katie's Irish Tambourine. Katie's Irish Tambourine gently takes me by the hand, leading me off into light-footed lyrical dances, knees high. The cats peed on it once. Katie's mother insisted the frivolous knick-knack be thrown away. Katie, unassage, insisted on carefully cleaning the head. She hadn't carried it across the ocean just to dump it in a landfill. Dormant in the living room corner, it was as silent as the blight until it seduced with the promise of shimmy. A matchmaker down to her marrow, Kate told of the frenetic tings the Celts produced with such a ring. Imagine gypsy-like maidens, scarlet and indigo silk scraps ribboning down their hair, foot stamping bare in the heather, not too far from the fire that took the chill off the knoll. Oh, fiddle, pipe, and pint, which song will we careen today? The swaying of skirts, flirting lashes, bashful times were not those. Each beat of the thing made up Celtic dervish chants. She punctuated with a little tap to the thing. I couldn't help but believe, as the tambourine gently takes me by the hand, leading me off into light-footed lyrical dances, knees high.
That's great.
Thank you.
That was Kenya Mitchell. She's a poet, an essayist, and as you'll find out if you head to the Delta of Venus this coming Friday night at 8, a writer of short stories. Her brand new book is called Aftermath of a Sociopath, and the book release party is this coming Friday at 8 at Delta of Venus. Kenya, that was a lot of fun. With the life you've led, I know that we could spend a whole hour telling stories. Maybe we can do that sometime on this radio show in the future.
I'd really love that.
All right, great. Thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Well, folks, we have the David Shakespeare Ensemble here in the studios. So we're going to hear from them in just about a minute. Stick around for that here on Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. We'll be right back.
The Linux Users Group of Davis, or LUGOD, is a nonprofit organization dedicated to promoting the Linux computer operating system and other open source products as an alternative to expensive, proprietary, and monopolistic software. LUGOD meets in Davis on the first Tuesday and third Monday of each month. For more information, visit LUGOD's website at lugod.org or contact Bill Kendrick at 530-759-1019 or via email at root@lugod.org.
Welcome back, everyone, to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour on KDVS 90.3 FM, Davis. I promised you Shakespeare, and here we have it. The Davis Shakespeare Ensemble is well represented here in the studios of 14 Lower Freeborn. And this coming weekend, and the weekend thereafter, you'll be able to see the complete works of William Shakespeare abridged. Imagine if they weren't abridged. They'd have to start now, and it would last the whole week. As they say, come join us for a hilarious, fast-paced romp through Shakespeare's 37 plays performed by the Davis Shakespeare Ensemble. This wild lampoon on the Bard's comedies, histories, and tragedies includes a lightning-speed version of Hamlet, both forwards and backwards. We guarantee you will be breathless with laughter. There's quite a guarantee. Let me have the folks who are here reintroduce themselves. They're old veterans of appearing on this radio show multiple times to talk about Shakespeare and other grand dramatic topics. Hi, Steph.
Hi, my name is Steph Hankinson, and I'm the managing director of the Davis Shakespeare Ensemble, as well as one of the actors in Abridged.
Excellent.
I'm Richard Chownhill. I'm the resident composer and musical director, as well as the sound designer for Abridged.
Welcome back, Richard.
I'm Gia Batista. I'm the Associate Artistic Director of the Davis Shakespeare Ensemble, as well as the director of this show.
And you might hold the record, Gia, I'm not sure, for appearing live in the studio the greatest number of times.
Yay!
There are a few people who have been here on the show, some of them relatives of mine, on the phone more than you've been here live. But I think you now hold the record. Well, good to see all three of you, and welcome back. And Steph, let me start with you. What's going on with this particular show? It sounds like there's a real focus on fun, not only for the audience members, but for the actors as well.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we're rounding out this this sort of spring part of our season with something that's a little bit different than what we had been doing throughout the year. We've been doing, you know, sort of full-scale Shakespearean productions and then the devised sort of musical poetic piece that we did with the Sonnet Project, and wanted to do something that the crowds could really come out to and come out with families, picnics, the whole thing, and just have a night of pure joy and lightness and laughter with all of Shakespeare's plays. And the show, like, really allows for that. It's written by improvisational comedians, and it allows for the actors to just go and really play for an hour and 40 minutes with the people that come out to see it. So there's something in it for everyone, for sure.
And so when you say play with the people who come out, there are interactive elements to this program?
Yeah, the show has a lot of elements of, I mean, there's no fourth wall, really. Like, from the very beginning, the actors are playing directly with the audience, you know, speaking to them, bringing them on stage, really engaging with the people that come out there. And it's just a lot of fun because the way that they do that is so so lighthearted and so just in the spirit of, like, what it is to try to explore all of these plays. And they really are, you know, I act as Steph the actor, basically.
Right.
So that kind of sets the tone for that. The three actors in the show really play themselves and just go out and fool around with all of Shakespeare's texts and the sort of tropes and things that we all laugh about, I think, and that's all put on stage for everyone to see.
That's great. So does that mean that the show will be different every night?
Yes.
And
short answer.
And that means that you may memorize things that that don't come up.
Yes and no. There's sort of a skeletal structure for,
okay,
for things that will get said, like in terms of the pieces of Shakespeare that they do is pretty much consistent. But there is flexibility even within that because the show is just built in that way, and that's what's so important about three actors that really gel together. And Gia's done a great job of picking three people that work well with each other to sort of fill in those gaps allow for that comedy to happen in between those chunks that really are set in stone.
Excellent. Well, Richard, from what we've just been hearing about, how do you create music for that? What have been some of the challenges of this particular project?
Well, what I've done for this show is create a soundscape of music and just sort of sound effect cues that I think reflect the heritage of comedy, and in particular ironic, slapstick, and tongue-in-cheek comedic styles, which I think are definitely sort of at the forefront of the action and just the glue that holds it together. So, to reference early cinema, even with silent films, humorous films always had that sort of goofy music that lets you know, sort of cues you in, so to speak, to how you're supposed to react and how you're supposed to feel. At this point, I think it's a little more obvious how you're supposed to react and how you're supposed to feel, but nevertheless, we call on that. So it's everything from the goofy music to the goofy sounds to the little cartoon boings and pings and the laugh tracks. And it's a little bit of everything. It's a little bit of cinema. It's a little bit of electronic music. It's a little bit of more typical theater music. But that's the nature of the play anyways.
Excellent. Now, for the production of Twelfth Night, I saw you had a small part in that play. I'm wondering if you get to do any acting with all the zaniness going on.
I do a lot of offstage acting. I play the character of Bob, actually. There's actually two people, not lead understudy, but two people by the same name of Bob. And both of us are off stage, and we play a relatively prominent role, actually. Yeah. So certainly I will be reprising my acting status.
Excellent. And this means, too, that you're building quite a resume as an actor. And if this music thing doesn't work out, you can always, go that direction.
I think that goes without saying. And that's already, I'm already working on a second resume right now, an acting resume, yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, here's Gia Battista. She's got one of the longest resumes. You're still an undergraduate here, aren't you, Gia?
Yes, I am.
One of the longest acting resumes of any undergraduate at UC Davis. And now you're directing as well.
Yep.
Tell me something about this production that we haven't already talked about.
This production has been just fun, mostly. It's like, I feel bad for everybody else that doesn't get to just sit there and, like, laugh. I mean, it's like, you've had a hard day, and, like, you just come, and it's just so easy, because you just sit there and laugh your head off, and then you get to decide what's funnier. It's like, I mean, my job's, like, the best, It's
right.
Like, oh, that's not as funny as last time. Maybe you should do it, no, but seriously, it's just been just so fun, and I think it's been a balance of when are we having fun and when are we having serious time,
right?
Because I don't want to have serious time.
Parenting is like that too,
right? Exactly. It's a little bit like herding cats as well, but
yeah.
But in the best way. It's been really interesting directing this one because the script was written like based on improvisation. And we did, because the script actually calls for it, to change it in any way that is fit to your three characters that you have, because everybody's got a different dynamic.
Right.
We definitely did some changing of, moments and to have it fit our actors. And, really, I just tried to keep it as open as possible. Guys, go. Just improv. Like, do whatever you want. I'll pull you back if it's too much. But, that was just so much fun. And then, towards this last... week and a half of rehearsal, we kind of started to set more things. Like, okay, you can't say that anymore. Stick to this, because that's the best part of that. And then, so it's just more of like framing. But we got some just really great stuff out of it. Nothing I could have come up with. So.
Right. Well, it seems to me one fun part of that is that if someone like drops a line or doesn't make a cue or whatever, the show can just continue, can adapt, can
absolutely.
Work with that in the way that improvisational comedians do.
Absolutely.
And therefore it's it's not working without a net, but it's, you get to jump into the net and bounce around from time to time.
Yes.
And that sort of thing.
It makes it just so fun, and really it's just like you get such a nice environment of trust. It's like immediately like, okay, we can trust that you guys are going to, because we've all got this understanding as soon as you come in that, you know, we're talking to you, audience, and you're going to be involved. And right. Like, so everybody accepts it, and then we just go, and it's just, yeah, it just really makes it a fun experience. So.
Excellent. Steph, do you have a thought? You look like you had a thought in your head, like you wanted to add something in an improvisational, comedic way.
I mean, was just saying. No pressure. Yeah. You know, it's funny because it's a different kind of show than I've worked on before. You know, even in the comedies I've worked on, of course, you set things much earlier, and we have, you know, the cast is myself, and I have a background, you know, just doing straight acting as well as some sketch comedy, but that's also more set. You know, you'll work before on different ideas, working in and out, and then Chris Ide is another one of the actors, and he's basically just done straight plays. And then Daniel Storo is the third actor of the troupe, and he is a stand-up comedian by profession. So we've got an interesting vibe between the three of us, because right. We all have some sort of different things that I think we pull from and are comfortable doing. But like Gia said, it's been great to work off of them and with her sort of editing and suggesting and prodding us into like the sort of place that we're at now, where we're playing these sort of heightened or self-referential versions of ourselves doing the play. So it's just been a lot of fun.
And it means, too, that as actors, you all can learn things from each other despite every show because of your different backgrounds.
Absolutely.
And that's a lot of fun, too, because straight actors, as you're saying, don't get to train extensively with stand-up comedians and
right.
Vice versa.
Right.
And so that's a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's fun, and it pushes you in a different way. It forces you to be sort of open to things that you know you would never try in, like, certain rehearsal spaces because, like, it's just not okay to, like, act that you're riding around on a broom and, like, cackling or, like, you're, you know, climbing on a ladder in the middle of the thing. Or, like, it's just stuff that you would never try because the show calls for that. It calls for, like, pushing those boundaries. And then,
right.
And then, like Gia said, she says, okay, this is funnier than this. Like, please get off of the rafters. Don't throw that. Stop eating the papers. Like, you know, whatever it is, like, it's, you know, you try everything, and that's a very liberating, sort of exciting way to act.
Right, right. Before I forget, not everyone knows about the gazebo where you all are going to be performing this. So let's remind folks, show times and dates once again, how one gets tickets, and then where the show is.
Yeah, sure. They can find out all the information on our website, which is www.shakespeare-davis.com. But the show opens Thursday evening on May 12th. It's tomorrow evening. Runs through the 15th, which is Sunday, and that's at 8 p.m. all of those nights. And then it breaks for 3 days and opens back up on the 19th. That's a Thursday and runs through the 22nd. And that's all at 8 p.m. We also have additional 2 p.m. matinees. They can reserve tickets by emailing davis.shakespeare@gmail.com. And the gazebo, there's directions to the gazebo on our website as well as the Arboretum's website. And it's on Garrod Drive off of LaRue. So if you take LaRue south, hit Garrod, it's right next to the Veterinary Center.
Right. And if you generally head southwest, if you're on campus,
yeah.
You'll run into it.
Exactly.
Great. We've got a caller. Let's see if the caller's stuck around. Hi, caller. You're live on the air.
Well, this is Looking Upwards, Dr. Andy.
Hey, it's Looking Upwards, one of our favorite past guests.
I just wanted to make sure that you weren't hurting cats.
I get it.
Okay.
Thanks, Looking Upwards. Bye-bye. So Looking Upwards was just sharing a SPCA moment with us in terms of the herding of cats versus the hurt. Of cats.
Okay.
He's full of clever puns. I'm sure he'll be.
He should enjoy. There's some puns in the show. I mean,
I'm sure
sounds like he should.
There would have to be.
Check it out.
He should come out and see the show. And it's great to hear from him. It's been a number of months since he's phoned into the program.
That's great.
All right, great. I've got to play another public service announcement, but we have a chance to say one more thing. What should that thing be? Gia, I'm going to turn it over to you, the director of this brand new production of the Davis Shakespeare Ensemble's The Complete Works of William Shakespeare, Abridged, that opens tomorrow evening. Gia?
I would just like to prepare the audience to be ready to participate, and they're part of the show just as much as the actors. So they should consider themselves an actor as well. And like Richard, maybe after the show should start a resume.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And do they need to read up?
I think they should just come prepared. It's an open audition, so
all right.
Mostly.
Excellent.
Do some tongue twisters, maybe. Get ready to run. Yeah. I mean that all ways.
Great. Well, I'm going to be there. Geneva and I are going to show up to one of your productions. We'll see which one it is. I'm really looking forward to it. And I know that she'll, and Geneva's my 13-year-old daughter, for those of you who are following at home. And she's been reading lots of Shakespeare. So obviously she's been reading up. And with her budding background in theater, maybe I can get her up on stage with you guys.
Definitely.
That'll be fun. Yes. All right. Well, Steph, Richard, Gia, thanks so much for representing the Davis Shakespeare Ensemble tonight on Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. And we look forward to finding out all the details, live and in person, about the complete works of William Shakespeare, Abridged, that opens tomorrow night at the Arboretum Gazebo in the southwest corner of campus. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much.
All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, stick around because I'll have some closing remarks right after we hear this important message from the sponsor of Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour.
This hour of KDVS programming is brought to you by Doctors Clinic for Men in Sacramento. Doctors Clinic for Men assists those unable to perform sexually to their own or partner's satisfaction. Treatments are offered which can resolve both premature ejaculation and erectile dysfunction. Doctors Clinic for Men's medication consists of only FDA-approved agents, and its staff has over 15 years' experience in this area of medicine. Confidential visits are conducted at the California Sutter Building, 28th and J Streets in Sacramento. The office can be reached at 916-551-1595 or toll-free at 877-493-8839. On the web at www.doctorsclinicformen.com.
We said, okay, we're on our way. Now we want to bring up an MGM recording artist, a legend. His name is Mr. Jimmy Witherspoon.
Sorry, that we're not going to hear too much of Jimmy Witherspoon. Why? Because, well, we're at the end of this program. I'd like to thank all of my guests, including Studio 301 Productions. They sent over a director and a bunch of actors and dramaturgs. Michael Lutheran, Lily Anderson, Yana Javinsky, Shayna Karp, and Matthew Canty. All were here representing Studio 301 Productions. Their production of Julius Caesar starts tonight over at 1st and A Streets. Follow the lights and the crowds. Thanks also to Kenya Mitchell, whose book release party, Aftermath of a Sociopath, that's the title of the book, that happens this coming Friday night at Delta Venus, Friday at 8 p.m. And then thanks especially to those three voices we just enjoyed having back in the studio, Steph, Richard, and Gia. Together they make up much of the heart of the Davis Shakespeare Ensemble. You can find out more about them at shakespeare-davis.com. Well, thanks to all of you for tuning in to KDVS this afternoon. Stick around because we've got some great music in store for you, as is always the case between 6 and 8 on a Wednesday afternoon. I'll be back next week with another edition of Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. See you then.